Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Episode 7 of Tech Talk with Ria and Ashwin. This is your co-host Ashwin.
And this is Ria. Hi Ashwin, it's nice to be back.
It's nice to be back. Wondering if we can quickly recap what we spoke on episode 6.
Yeah, absolutely. We can do a recap. So last episode we spoke about neural networks. But the question is, like, what are neural networks? Ashwin, do you remember?
I do. I remember speaking about the house property example, and we were trying to predict the price of a property with a few factors that would decide and that would weigh in on the price of the property. And we were using neural networks neural networks is what is the underlying technology that helps us predict this property value.
Exactly. So going back to the housing example, we had quite a few data sets to as an input, and there was some algorithm that processed it and established patterns to give an output. So what neural networks do is they are modeled loosely after how our brains work. And how our brains work is that we start establishing or recognizing patterns. So what neural networks do to mimic that is cluster, and then they classify the data. So they're more trying to draw similarities between different data points that you input. So going back to the housing example, we were inputting what the other prices that were known for some of the other houses in the neighborhood were with similar features. So that helped the algorithm predict what the cost of the new house would be.
Yeah, or anything that any other example, like the kind of size that of the apartment decides, so the number of square foot, and all these are variables that are independent but end up deciding and affecting the final outcome.
Exactly. So to one liner, right? There is some input, there is an algorithm that recognizes the patterns in the input data to give an output. That's pretty much what neural networks are, and that's what the last episode was about. So now we talked a lot about neural networks, but the question is AI all about neural networks? Is this the only method that we are able to get some kind of insight or analytic capabilities? What are your thoughts?
I know, I'm curious. I'm pretty sure there is more, but I'd love for you to tell me what it is.
So neural networks do have certain limitations, but what we want to do in this episode is deep dive into a subcategory, so to speak, of neural networks, which is deep learning or deep neural networks. And the use case that I can think of for this is about business, like advertising, personalized product recommendations. So Ashwin, do you remember a couple of episodes ago, you spoke about sunglasses and then you kept getting these targeted advertisements on Instagram for sunglasses once you searched shades on your laptop?
Yes, I do remember that sunglasses example. And is that in some way a result of deep learning?
Yes, Ashwin, that certainly is. So when we speak about neural network, there are more architecture mechanisms for us to derive some analytics. Deep learning is another architecture mechanism for us to have these targeted advertisements. In your case, it was the shades. For example, if I'm to buy potatoes every week, for me, it would be potatoes perhaps. So these targeted advertisements are certainly a result of deep learning. And when we search on Google, we start seeing a lot of targeted ads, and that's another result. So the way that's manifested is either through the apps that we regularly use or through some of the common channels. When first we open Google, we have a bunch of advertisements on the side or on the top, giving us some recommended research topics.
That's interesting that you say that. I'm a little confused right now in terms of, we did chat about neural networks in the previous episode, and now we're saying deep learning, and how are these two different?
So it's, to talk about how they're different, let's first learn what deep learning is at a high level, and then we will break it down into smaller parts. So what deep learning is that it watches your behavior. So when we skip to page 2 of the search result, when none of these, when we don't find our answers on page 1, they start learning that behavior of yours. So the machines, they crunch the demographic data and your habits and preferences at a speed that no human analyst can hope to reach. So then it can be consumed to optimize the pricing, offers, customer experience, and profitability. So Amazon or Instacart, Walmart, these are great examples of how they leverage deep learning to actually improve their customer experience and their pricings as well as the profit margin. So at a high level, in one line, deep learning is all about watching the customer behavior and recognizing the behaviors for themselves and analyzing it at a very fast rate.
Got it. And it's almost like, in a way, that the machine or the computer is
thinking for you. It is thinking for you, but at the same time, these are machines that were trained to do this. So we are giving the machine a bit more, so to speak, quote-unquote, power. So if you think back again what neural networks were, so for a neural network, it was an assortment of algorithms that were modeled after the human brain. So what they did was, you had the set of data, they would interpret some kind of pattern, derive some kind of perception, they will label the clusters from the raw data and give you an output. But here, deep learning takes it a bit further. It does something very similar, but at the same time, you don't need to teach these deep learning machines how to recognize the patterns anymore. You teach them, it's pretty much self-deriving the patterns for themselves. They learn to think and recognize for themselves where patterns exist. So we don't need to train the models again and again manually anymore.
Got it. That is creepy.
It can be very creepy.
But you said you're giving it power. So you're kind of permitting it to do what you want it to do. And hence, interesting. I think the next episode is something that will feed the curiosity of people who are thinking along the lines of ethics. And the bigger questions about, hey, is this the right thing to do as a technology company for
right.
our consumers?
So that's a snippet. So stay tuned, listeners.
In deep learning, how does this work in the background? Like, what is happening?
So
behind
the scenes, let's take the Amazon example. So when you shop for a product, I'm buying a bar of soap on Amazon today, and it will give you a bunch of product recommendations, like, you bought a bar of soap, therefore you might need a soap container, or you might need other bathroom material, and you keep getting all these targeted products to purchase. How does it do that? So deep learning, what it does, it takes... So there's this concept called artificial neural network. Neural networks have two layers to them. There's the input layer and the output layer, like we've discussed. But artificial neural networks, such as deep learning is an example, it takes it a bit further, because there are so many layers in between the input and the output. There are many hidden layers, and these layers are called deep neural networks. This is where all the processing and recognizing and of the patterns happen. So a deep learning system is very self-teaching. So that's what the human beings train these models to be and these machines to be self-teaching. So think back to neural networks. Every time a new set of data was inputted, we as humans had to manually train the machine to recognize that pattern for that particular set of data. So once the set of data changed, we had to repeat that process and manually intervene again. But with deep learning, what as humans we are doing is trying to help the computer learn how to recognize these. So it's more self-teaching. Like, how can, once I input any set of data, how does the computer recognize these patterns? So we give them like more related nodes or related points of input so it can recognize and establish that correlation and relationship.
Got it. And so in a way, we're saying, hey, in neural networks, the example that we spoke before of the property tax value, it's kind of needing the input and it will throw out an output. But here in deep learning, for example, the sunglass application, what it's doing is it's immediately predicting the things that you would need just with the data input without having too much to work with. The systems are able to think for you in a way, or kind of recognize patterns and throw back things that might be useful.
Exactly.
For you.
So think of when we spoke about the error handling in our last episode. So in neural networks, there were some error and there was some accuracy issues because the model is as good as you train it. But deep learning, it achieves recognition accuracy at a higher level than before, because you're feeding it so much data, so much related data, that it starts recognizing and you start fine-tuning the model even more and more, to the point that it can recognize the patterns for itself.
Got it. And I'm curious how deep learning is self-teaching. How is that happening? What's again happening in the background? How are they doing this?
So there are two main things that make deep learning so useful. One is that it requires large amounts of labeled data. And I'll emphasize the labeled part, because if you don't label the data, the machine wouldn't know how to categorize it or where to put it. So every data is very finely labeled and there has to be large amounts of data. For example, let's talk about driverless cars. It requires millions of images and thousands of hours of video input for it to be fully functional. So in the same case for Instacart or Walmart or Amazon, it's the same. They're inserting a lot of labeled data to these machines, so they're able to give you the recommendation. And in this case, the companies themselves are not even the ones who are inserting the data. It's you. By using the application, you're helping this learning mechanism become better every time you use the application.
Got it. I'm curious how deep learning is then self-teaching again, because you're kind of teaching it, right? You're giving this system a lot of data, a lot of information, and hence the prediction becomes more accurate. And how is that different from neural networks where you're giving the input?
So actually, if I understand your question correctly, for neural networks, think back to our example of the housing. You're in the inputs, the variables are whether the house is a pool, the square footage, the location, proximity to a hospital and a school. So now you're giving all these weights to your machine so that it can derive some outcome that you want. So you have an idea of the type of outcome you want. You want the price. But in deep learning, you don't have that. You don't need that.
Ah, and here in deep learning, you don't have the ability to give, or you don't have enough data to tell you how much of each do you like. You're kind of giving it the input on a broad level, and the machine's doing the breakdown.
Exactly. So I wouldn't want you to say like the machine's doing it for you. It certainly is. But what's really helping this deep learning take it a step further than neural networks is the labeled data and the vast amounts of labeled data that you're giving it. Let's compare Google and DuckDuckGo. So DuckDuckGo is another search engine. So is Google. What makes Google so powerful? The fact that it has a larger user pool than DuckDuckGo does.
Yeah, and also that makes sense, because DuckDuckGo, if for I was introduced to it a few years ago, but then on a random Twitter feed saying, have you heard of DuckDuckGo, the better Google, because apparently your data is safer there. But that's just FYI.
So that's a topic for another time when we talk about, you know, data and what Google is doing with our data. Perhaps the next episode we can touch base on that. But for now, deep learning, it requires large amounts of labeled data. And this is a very self-directed mechanism because the user themselves are inserting the data just because they're using the application such as Google or Amazon. The second is that deep learning requires a very large, substantial computing power. So they need high-performance GPUs that have a parallel architecture, which is quite sufficient for deep learning. So when combined with clusters or cloud computing, it enables the teams to reduce training time for a deep learning network from weeks to hours or even less.
Got it. So there's a lot of And that's why it's deep learning, right? Because it makes sense. It's learning the depth of your rationale behind making a few decisions or even identifying a few things. And hence, it's doing a lot of thinking, and so it requires a lot of graphics in the background, a lot of
computing pictures,
power.
A lot of videos, a lot of large media files. There's so much data that a physical space cannot analyze, or you cannot store it in a physical space. Even if you can, it will probably be very costly. So in this case, cloud computing is really helping take deep learning and deep learning applications much further, because you're able to consume these resources of storage, input, capacity, analytics at the from your keyboard, from your laptop right now.
Yeah, and this kind of ties back to our example of cloud being a pay-as-you-go resource, so that you don't have to spend so much. Because if it wasn't for the cloud and somebody wanted to do deep learning, some company wanted to do deep learning, they'd have to invest, unless they have a lot of capital to invest into hardcore infrastructure, they're not going to be able to make that innovation possible.
Even, like, you need to also question, is that innovation even available? Do we have the supercomputer somewhere that's readily, like, I can just go and purchase, even if I have the finances? Most likely you'll have a hard time doing that now, because people would ask you, why are you not trying to use cloud computing? Why are you trying to keep all of this on premise? It's also like there are so many security issues attached to keeping all this kind of data on premise, which again is another discussion point for us later in some of our episodes. But going back to deep learning, you need a lot of computational power, as well as you need large amounts of labeled data. And it's usually labeled data self-directed. It's just from the user behaving for their needs on a daily basis, just like Instacart or Walmart recommendations or Amazon recommendations.
And I'm curious if Microsoft, Google, Amazon, all of them have their own services in this space. Do they have deep learning tools? Do they have neural network tools that they say, hey, we'll do some really cool things with your data?
So absolutely, like all three cloud providers do have that. But again, we can dedicate another episode to talk about like which resources to use when and have some use cases. But today's episode, let's keep our focus more on these targeted advertisements and understanding the how, like how does it happen behind the scenes, and diving a bit deeper, which I think we did. We talked about neural networks, and then now we talk about deep learning and how they're different. We talked about artificial neural networks as well as deep neural networks and how they're different. So do you feel like you have at least a semi-good grasp of these concepts? So if I am to ask you, Ashwin, today, Ashwin, explain to me what the difference is between a neural network and a deep learning or a deep neural network, what would your answer be?
I would say, hey, a neural network is kind of made with a set of algorithms, and you give it some input, lots of input, and this algorithm will work and give you the output. But in deep learning, there's this extra layer of prediction where the input data is being used by that middle layer to make predictions to throw out at the output. And hence, the machine's kind of recognizing the patterns in the inputs to throw those outputs back at you. And the sunglasses example is probably a good focal point for listeners to hold on to and think about neural networks, deep learning, on a very fundamental sense.
Right. So to reiterate some of your points, so a neural network, what they're doing is establishing connections and patterns in a data set, just like our human processing does. So it's some kind of machine learning algorithm that does that. For deep learning, it's a branch of machine learning, but it leverages a series of non-linear processing units that have many layers of feature transformation and extraction. So for the same output, you would have probably many layers. You would have images, videos, texts to get to that particular output.
And a lot of deep learning requires a lot of computing power, a lot of GPU, and high bandwidth.
Exactly. So large amounts of data. So you're able to establish these several layers of artificial neural networks that carry out the machine learning processing, as well as you need large amounts of computational power to keep up with these layers and provide the infrastructure, so to speak. So with that, Ashwin, I think we've hit our 20 around 20-minute mark for this episode. So next episode, we have some very interesting things coming up. We do have a few feature guests who'll be talking about the ethics of AI, as many of you as by this point might be considering, given how deep learning and deep neural networks function. So that's coming up next. And again, Ashwin, it was great learning with you.
I totally agree, and I'm really excited for the next episode where we have guests who are in the space of cloud, the software engineers. More on them in the next episode, so stay tuned, listeners, and keep listening to Tech Talk and sharing this with your tech enthusiastic friends.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.